Okay, we'd like to welcome everyone that's come along tonight. Thanks very much for being here. And before we read, we're going to pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We just give thanks for the reason that we've come here, and that's to share good news. And we would just give thanks as well for the desire of God, and that's that each one in this meeting, that after life is all over, they'd be with Him. And more than that, we just give thanks that the desire of God is that He'd have a relationship with each one here in time. And so we would just pray for help to speak, and we just pray that there would be receptive ears to the gospel. We just give thanks now for the Lord Jesus in His name. Amen. Now, I don't know if it's a good sign or not, but when you're still jotting notes down a few seconds before you get up, maybe I'm not feeling fully prepared, but we're going to try and be extremely simple, okay? That's my goal tonight, is just to be very simple. That might take less time than the time I have. That'll leave more time for Chris. Now, me and Chris have spoken a lot together in the past. I think it's been a little while now. I'm not sure how long exactly. So it's nice to be up here again and speaking along with Chris. So we're going to read first in the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we're going to read just a few verses here. James 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now come over to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The last place we're going to read is over in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now that is all that we're going to read. Like I mentioned, what's on my mind tonight is something very, very simple. I don't want anyone to go away confused from the meeting. And sometimes that happens when you're preparing a bit of a message. You feel like you need more material and you start thinking and jotting notes down, and then it just becomes more confusing than it really needs to be. So I want to be extremely simple. The goal of the meeting tonight is that we want you to go away knowing things, knowing something that you didn't know when you came here. Something, I just forget exactly where in the message it was, but Peter Orosok's sermon that he gave on his conversion, it's on a CD. Somewhere along the line, he mentions in there, and it was impressive to me. It's like really hits home, is he said that I don't know if someone spoke this to him or if he was using it as part of his message, but the point he wanted to drive home is that what we're speaking about tonight, what you're hearing, is real. Okay, the things that you hear from the Bible, the messages that you hear from the platform, the contents of it, it's actually real. Okay, one of the big things in the world now that you go on and AI and you don't know whether a video is real or it's not real, the world is full of things that are not real. Things that maybe make you feel good, things to kind of escape. The whole purpose of them is just to get away from reality, to have some downtime. Whenever you can forget about the bills and forget about life circumstances, just to maybe, in your way of thinking, it's harmless. I want to chill. I just want to relax. I don't want to be thinking about things that are real for a little while. We want you to think about things that are real tonight. Things that are important. We want you to go away from this meeting knowing things, for sure. The first thing that I want to impress on you tonight that maybe you haven't given a lot of thought to is you getting to know yourself. Okay, that's what we read about in James. That's the purpose. So get to know yourself. God wants you to get to know yourself. You don't need to go on a big worldwide trip to discover yourself and to get to know more about yourself. God gives everything that you need to know in this book when it comes to knowing yourself. Now, I don't know what kind of a view you have of yourself, but I'm going to give you what God's view is. And again, this is real. Okay, this is the truth. God tells us in His Word that you are very fragile. You're very fragile. I don't think we really need to drive that truth home, do we? Maybe we do, I don't know. For the younger ones, possibly, for the older ones, that is something that I spoke with Chris about this. I don't know, it's a few months ago now, and he confirmed that it's after you get over 40 and you begin to think how quick life goes by, you do begin to think about how fragile we are. I think about it a lot more now than I ever did before. Every time we get on a plane, every time we go in the vehicle, it might be because we have kids now too and you're worried about them, you try and keep them safe, but you're always thinking about how fragile we are. And people, they go to the gym to try and forget about that. You see the muscles begin to grow. They think about how big and strong they are. They like to look at other people, compare themselves to those people. They don't want to think about how fragile they are, because deep down, you probably don't think you're very fragile. God wants to drive this truth home tonight that you are fragile just like a blade of grass. Just like a flower that blooms and then it's gone. You're fragile, just like a blade of grass. You think about this. Look out in the lawn there. All the foot traffic, the people coming and going, the lawnmower going back and forth. I want you just to imagine this. You're one blade of grass out in that lawn. And all this stuff is going on back and forth. It's not going to be very long whenever it's going to be your turn. Whenever a foot steps on it. Whenever the lawnmower drives over it. God says you're that fragile. See, you don't know whenever you're leaving this life. I don't know. Did you ever look at yourself that way, that I'm just a fragile human being who has no control? God wants to drive home tonight that when it comes to you breathing, He has control of your breath, not you. And maybe this tonight is not what you wanted to hear, but this is things that are real. This is the truth. And God gives us these things in His Word. And back to James chapter 1, He sets it up just like a mirror in front of us. If we looked in that mirror, we'd see a perfect picture of ourselves. Accurate. But the problem with it is that you and I, just like it says there, we go and look in the mirror maybe, we walk away, and we forget what we saw in the mirror. Because it just wasn't so pleasant. God gives us, it's really like an x-ray almost, from the top of the head to the sole of the foot. And He says that there's really nothing good in it. He talks about the tongue. Talks about the feet. He talks about the hands. He talks about the heart. And the mind. And the mouth. And He says that there's nothing good in it. And the assessment after all of that is given is this, is that all have sinned. You're a sinner tonight. Like it or not, it's not me getting up here and it's my idea or Chris's idea or an idea that the hall has come up with, that we need to find some kind of a degrading title that we can put on people, and when they come in, we're going to make them feel bad. That's not what we're doing. This is God's assessment. Someone with perfect sight who can see right through you. And you can try and dress it up. You can try and put other labels on it. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm going to give a warning tonight. Whatever you do, don't ignore the message that you can ignore me. Okay? Ignore me all you want. Ignore Chris if you want. I'll speak on his behalf. You can ignore him if you want. You can ignore anyone else in here. What I'm warning you tonight not to do is not to ignore what God has to say. Don't ignore Him. Because as much as you can ignore Him in time, there's a day coming in every single person's existence whenever you are going to stand before Him and you are not going to be able to ignore Him. If you didn't have time for Him tonight or tomorrow or in this lifetime, you're going to have time for Him then. But God gives a perfect picture, perfect view of us. We're fragile. We're full of sin. Maybe we should just stop for a minute and explain. Maybe there's someone here and you're wondering, well, okay, what really is sin? Sin is simply this, that anything that goes against God. Anything against God, anything against God's standard. And like I've said before, the very first sin that wouldn't even make talk in a coffee shop now, the very first one, that was enough to drive Adam and Eve out of God's presence forever, if there hadn't been intervention. It was enough to put the whole of the human race, drive them all into sin. That's how big a deal it was, just simply taking one simple thing that wasn't theirs, that God said not to take, and that was enough. If that was enough, just stop for a minute and look at the state that the world is in. Completely rampant and full of awful, disgusting sin. You say, well, there are some things that I would never, ever do. Maybe you wouldn't. But you're still contaminated. You still have a mind, even though the hands maybe don't produce as much sin as someone else. Listen, there are dogs that bark louder than other dogs. There are some dogs that are more destructive than other dogs, and guess what? They're all still dogs. All kinds of different types, all kinds of different ranges. When it comes to sin, every single person is a sinner. Some produce more, some produce less. Every single sinner is heading to the same place, and that's what I want to talk about next. So, we want to impress it on you tonight. Just yourself. Look at yourself. We're not trying to make people feel awful about themselves, but we want you to get an accurate picture, God's view. And that's that you're a sinner. You say, okay, well, I'm not feeling particularly uncomfortable about that. Everyone, you mentioned everyone is in the same boat. Well, everyone was in the same boat whenever the Titanic was going down too, weren't they? The people that had a very accurate picture and view of what was going on, do you think it brought them any comfort whatsoever knowing that they were in the same boat with thousands of other people going down? Of course not, you say. They all want to get off because they understood what was going on. So what we don't want is anyone ever to become comfortable in their sin because they're millions of others doing it. We're all in the same boat. We're all in this together. The situation that you were in tonight is this. Now, if this is not bothering you, that's actually going to prove my next point that I want to make. We read about this was the message, that it's high time to awake out of sleep. What is actually going on tonight? Maybe you're unaware of this, but you're sitting here calmly in the meeting, and you're listening to the message, and it really isn't having much of an impact on you. You've actually come, maybe for years, listened to this, maybe you haven't. But up to this point, you say, well, this is not really much more than what I expected. This is not really that impressive. That's good. I wasn't expecting to be impressive when I got up here. But up to this point in the meeting, you say, I don't really feel much of an impact. Do you want me to tell you why? I want you to listen to this, okay? This is why you're sitting here, not bothered, no impact, is because there is a real person tonight who was very active. And the Bible calls him the devil. The Bible calls him the wicked one. What he is actually doing is he's keeping you in peace. What he's doing is just what a mother does whenever a baby begins to fuss. They've fallen asleep and they're fussing a bit. And you just kind of, I guess I had a bit of a touch whenever we had kids. I was able, I think they, I won't even tell you what they called it. But it was a known burden thing. And you just kind of bounce the baby up and down and you could put them to sleep. I kind of actually enjoyed doing it. I liked the challenge. Surprise. But you just kind of rock them to sleep until you see the eyes start to flutter and off they go peacefully again. That's what the devil is doing to you. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, where we read a little later on, it talks about the wicked one, and he's just simply rocking you to sleep. Whenever you come to a gospel meeting, you begin to hear things like this, and you begin to think. And you think about how fragile you are, and maybe sin begins to bother you a little bit. And maybe you ask somebody a few questions. The devil sees that, and he brings something in. Maybe something to occupy you. And that just rocks you back to sleep. Because what we want you to know tonight, why we want you to wake up, while you're sitting here still in a gospel meeting, you're not moving, you are moving. You are moving down the pathway of time. If you look at the chart behind me, at some point in time, your little slot here is going to end. God has given every single person a certain allotted amount of time here. Whenever you get to that line, there's no extending it. It doesn't matter the amount of medication or the lifestyle changes or whatever you want to do. God has drawn the line and there's no passing it. You are moving through lifetime. Does that bother you at all that God gives a clear picture of the predicament that you're in because of your character, because of your sin, and you're moving along towards, contrary to what a lot of people believe, or a lot of people have been told, you're moving along towards nothingness, maybe, is what you think, or you're moving along to a certain heaven, or paradise, or whatever it might be. In your mind, if your sins have never been taken care of, if your problem has never been taken care of, you are not moving towards paradise, you are not moving towards nothingness, you are moving towards certain punishment and suffering and destruction. That's where you're going. And the Bible calls that place hell. When you eventually leave there and you stand before God at the great white throne and you are judged for your sins, you will be taken from there and cast into the lake of fire where there is no escape, where there is no end. God wants you to know this. He wants you to know about yourself. Get a good, clear picture of how God sees me. God wants you to know very clearly what situation you're in. But I'm just going to end with this. God wants you to know someone tonight. I hope you didn't come here to meet me or meet anyone else. But I hope your true intention was to come and to meet someone that God has for you. You know who that is? It's the Lord Jesus. It's the Savior. God wants you to know Him. Again, because He's real. His love is real. His salvation is real. Heaven is real. God wants you there with Him. How do I know that the Lord Jesus wants me? Well, all I have to do is begin to read through the pages of Scripture and begin to see what the Lord Jesus did. He didn't have to come here. He didn't have to go to Calvary. But He went to Calvary on behalf of the sinner. He knew the predicament, the situation. He knew what you were facing. Do you know what the Lord Jesus did? He went to Calvary to face it so you wouldn't have to. The Lord Jesus simply just took the place of the sinner. And He wants to know you tonight. Do you want to know Him? You say, well, I know this, and I know this, and I know this about Him, but do you know Him? What do I mean, do I know Him? I was trying to think, how do you explain something like this to someone? How do I actually get to know the Savior? Let's just go back to the example of the Titanic, or we could go to the Scriptures and see the predicament that Peter was in, walking on the water, and he goes down. So back to the Titanic, and people are maybe watching. Let's just say that there's a certain man going along, and he's pulling people from the water, and someone's sitting there in the water, drowning, and they're watching all this take place, and they're gathering information about that person who's lifting other people out of the water. And then the moment comes. And the man who is doing the rescuing, do you know what happens? He comes and he stands right in front of them and he puts his hand out. And he takes now they're not watching him take other people's hands. They watch as his hand comes out. And their hand meets it. And they join. And the man pulls them out of the water. That person now hasn't just known about that person doing the rescuing. Now they can say, I know him. I felt his touch, I took his hand, and he rescued me. That's really what salvation is. You've maybe watched other people get saved and enjoy salvation, but up to this point, you have never taken the hand of the Savior. You have never taken him for yourself. You have never accepted his payment, his suffering on your behalf. That's what he wants tonight. He wants to get to know you. And God wants you to be in heaven with Him.